This is an iHeart podcast.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse. You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off. This week in wokeism, and frankly, this country in wokeism, we have stuff from Disney, the CIA, and all that's going to lead us to stuff from China. Uh-oh. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. Time now for I'm Right. This week in wokeism. All right. You know, woke is one of those weird words, and I'll be frank with you about something. I avoided it. I avoided it for the longest time because I felt like it was a generational thing. And to this day, I still kind of feel like that. I feel like if I was trying to explain what woke meant to my dad, I would just get a blank stare and probably an angry look because he's my dad. And he would say something to the effect like, what are you talking about? Speak English. So I'm still not sure how effective the term is to people who don't live on social media. But just know, when we talk about woke, when it ever comes up at all, because it's going to be coming up a lot now, you need to understand we're talking about cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism. That's what we're talking about. The teachings out there that America is an evil, racist, sexist, anti-LGBTQ country of colonizers that deserves to be brought to its knees. That's what wokeism is. It's also the apology culture out there. Corporation puts out a sitcom or this company makes a commercial somewhere and five college kids in a room decide they get offended about it because everyone's offended about something anymore. And soon there's a public apology. Wait, what? Why? Tell them to go sit down and shut up. There's no need to apologize. And let me reemphasize this fact. I've told you this before and I'll tell you again. I'm going to get in trouble one of these days. I don't know what it'll be. I don't even know whether it'll be legitimate. It probably will be legitimate, but I'm going to get in trouble. When I do, I'm not going to apologize to you. I'm not going to come on the air and say, I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry. That's never going to happen. I'll quit before it does. These public apologies are the most pathetic thing in the world. And 99.99% of the time, the people demanding them, they don't want your apology. They want you on your knees begging so they can feel more powerful than you. Anyway, I'm not going to get sidetracked. You know how long we've been talking about you and I being more purposeful with where we spend and don't spend our money? Now, we have to have a tough talk about this because I'm about to bring up a company you've spent money with. Almost undoubtedly, you have spent money with this company. And I want you to know something before I go into this story. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I've spent money with this company. I still probably in some way spend money with this company. I'm talking about Disney. Do you have any idea how many things are run by Disney? And here's the thing. Here's what really gets people like you and I in trouble when we're trying to be more purposeful with where we spend our money. Here's what gets us. They run things really well. My kids want to go see the new superhero movie. If you're a dad and you have to get dragged kicking and screaming to an amusement park, Disney World's the best option. Faster lines, free booze, you know, the things dad needs. If you're taking a vacation, you know Disney has a completely separate vacation department of cruises and trips all over the world? Supposed to be a well-oiled machine. Fantastic. Disney makes your life easier. But that's what the system does, and that's how the system gets you, and that's why we talk about the system all the time and how hard it is to resist it. Because the truth is, life is easier when you just choose to take part in it. If you choose to fight against it, life is harder. Life can be miserable. How purposeful are you with your dollars when it comes to Disney? That's not me judging. This is me from a position of guilt. That's not me judging you. How purposeful are you with your dollars when it comes to Disney? Well, let's go over a couple things here, and then you decide. You have to decide. Do you want to pay them for this or not? It's your call. The wokest place on earth is the headline. We have Chris Rufo, who'll probably be on our show later on this week. The dude has been dynamite, leading the charge against critical race theory. He has a bombshell report out there with multiple whistleblowers about Disney's new Reimagine Tomorrow program for their own employees. What is it? Well, let's go over some of it. Here's one. What can I do about racism? And this is a screenshot from the leaked materials. Again, this is not all I heard from a guy who heard from a guy who heard from a guy. This is leaked materials. Quote, if you're feeling confused, shocked, or have recently awakened to systemic racism, recognize that this is probably not new to your Black/African-American colleagues. Avoid messages like, I can't believe this is happening. The murders of Breonna Taylor, Sean Reed, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, Tony McNaid, Nina Pop, Rashard Brooks, Adam Traore, and countless others are part of a long history of systemic racism and transphobia. Oh, you thought that was as bad as it got? You have another thing coming. Employees should be looking forward to equity, not equality, and must reflect on America's racist infrastructure. Employees are also, oh, you'll love this. Employees are also given an exam, a self-exam. What is that self-exam? Well, it's to check their white privilege and some of the items reading, I am white, I am heterosexual, I still identify as a gender I was born with. I want you to understand something. This stuff right now, it's so easy for you and I to hear this stuff and do this. And then kind of move on with our day, right? This stuff is destroying the United States of America. This isn't just taking place on some jerkwater college campus somewhere. This stuff isn't just taking place at Disney or Coca-Cola or Nike or any one of the other mega powerful corporations out there in a position to crush this country who are now teaching this stuff and spreading the message, not just to their employees, across the airwaves. This stuff is spreading to every single cultural institution you have. Cultures have pillars. Cultures have things that hold up the culture. All of ours are rotting from within because of this disgusting filth, this cultural Marxism that is teaching Americans to hate America. And I have said this before, I will say it 1,000 times. patriotism. It's not some hokey, oh, here we go with the patriotism thing. In the history of the world, read it, study it, you will find patriotism. The citizens' love of their country is a necessary thing if a nation is going to continue to exist. And when you don't have that anymore, your nation, it's already over. It's only a matter of time. And why is that? Why does it happen that way? Well, remember, because if I'm a patriot, I love my country. I've been taught by my parents and by my education system. I've been taught I'm blessed to be here in America. America's a great place. America's worth fighting for. If that's my belief system deep down inside, what does that do? Well, what do you feel about things you love? A spouse, if you're lucky. I'm kidding. A spouse, a child, mother, father. Don't you feel an obligation to things that you really genuinely love? That's what patriots feel for their country. You feel an obligation to serve it, to protect it, to make sure that country stays strong for the next generation because it's worth fighting for, right? But if you're a person, and we have millions and millions and millions of these people in the United States of America right now, if you're a person who believes, if I'm not a patriot, if I'm one of these dirt balls at Disney, and I think this country sucks, this is a racist place, it's been evil to black people and evil to women and terrible to trans people, and I'm sure it's a colonizer, this place sucks. Well, am I going to spend 5 seconds of my life worrying about protecting it? Worrying about making sure it continues? No. In fact, in my spare time, I'd probably want to trash the place and make sure it gets brought down. It deserves it anyway. If you have that scale tipping too far that way, and we do, you are in very serious trouble. And I want to reiterate the fact, this is not just Disney. The Central Intelligence Agency is putting this garbage out for recruiting videos. That's the most amazing part. It's not just these crazy CIA videos. You know, we showed you ones last week. I'm the intersectional cisgender weird. We showed you that one last week. It's not just that the CIA is putting out these videos. The CIA is putting out these videos to future recruits saying, this is what I'm looking for. You thought the last one was bad? Oh, wait, there's more. I want you to picture this before I play you this ad, because it could be benign if you're not in the right mindset. I want you to picture this. China has an economy equal to ours. China's navy is equal, if not has surpassed ours. They are a country of 1 billion people. They are very vocal about the fact they want to bring down the country and take over the world. They're an imperialist nation. And China's spy agency wakes up every single morning and they eat and sleep and breathe, destroying the United States of America. They want the smartest, strongest, let's go. Whatever we have to do to defeat America, we will do it. What's our Central Intelligence Agency doing? This.
My favorite thing about CIA is that they encourage the out-of-the-box ideas that drive real progress. Growing up gay in a small southern town, I was lucky to have a wonderful and accepting family. I always struggled with the idea that I might not be able to discuss my personal life at work. Imagine my surprise when I was taking my oath at CIA and I noticed a rainbow on then-director Brennan's lanyard, which I later learned was designed by Engel, one of the many employee resource groups here at the agency. I remember being stunned. Since then, however, I've learned that far beyond the resource groups, inclusion is a core value here. Officers from the top down work hard to ensure that every single person, whatever their gender, gender identity, race, disability, or sexual orientation, can bring their entire self to work every day.
We're just going to move on. I just want you to understand. I've talked to you about this before on the show. I know you may not geek out on history stuff the way I do, but I want you to understand this. Intelligence failures, intelligence agencies that miss something, take their eye off the ball, are focused on the wrong thing, they don't result in a little mishap here or there. They've resulted in the end of nations before. The end of nations. And our top enemy in this world, all they think about is destroying you. That's all they think about. What's our spy agency doing? Well, you just saw it. This is another one of our cultural pillars. We don't even have a spy agency anymore. We have elected representatives saying things like this. This is from Cori Bush. Get this. Every day, black birthing people and our babies die because our doctors don't believe our pain. My children almost became a statistic. I almost became a statistic. I testified about my experience. Hear us, believe us, because for so long, nobody has. And then, of course, the pro-abortion group comes out and says, when we talk about birthing people, we're being inclusive. It's that simple. We use gender-neutral language when talking about pregnancy because it's not just the cisgender women that can get pregnant and give birth. Reproductive freedom is for everybody. No, it's actually just women that can give birth. And you see how fast these things happen. If I were to tell you, I want you to put yourself in this mindset. If I were to tell you 10 years ago, 2011, and I were to come tell you that you shouldn't call a woman giving birth a woman, you have to refer to all of them as birthing people because you have to understand if a dude decides he wants to be a woman, he can just go get his twig lopped off and he can go have kids. If I were to have that conversation with you 10 years ago, you would say, okay, that guy's a freaking weirdo. I'm never talking to him again. But if I were to tell you 10 years ago that from the highest levels of power in this country, major corporations, elected people, from the highest positions of power, people would be talking like that, you would have said, okay, can we get this guy institutionalized? He's out of his mind. That would never happen here. You think this is bad? You think this is bad? It gets worse. And don't ask me, Jesse, how does it get worse? What's next? I have no idea because I don't think that way. They do think that way, though. While you wake up every single day, you try to provide for yourself and your family, make your life better, make your country better, but make your workplace better. You wake up with an obligation every day, better yourself, better your nation. I know you have some up days and down days. We all do, but that's how you wake up. You, as that person, can't understand what it's like to be these people. They wake up every day and think to themselves, what can I destroy next? There's got to be something. We can't ever understand that mindset, but we do very much have to stop it, very much so. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it. For $4,000, she has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out. Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these farrier drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off. Home title lock. you understand that I'm not just here telling you about it, right? This isn't some made-up thing, because I know a lot of people have never heard of home title theft, where they steal your home title and rip you off for everything. I'm not just making that up. It's not just me. It's not just the FBI warning about it. The crooks are telling you about it.
Nobody thinks that I can take their house and borrow against the house. Oh, no, I have title insurance for that. No, it's in my name, or he would have to get some special document. They would call me. You know, nobody's calling you. After I've stolen the title, borrowed against it, or sold the property, or done whatever I've done with it, it's 60 to 90 days to even figure out that they're the victim of this crime. You know, by that point, you start getting foreclosure notices, and you realize you've got four mortgages on your house. Not only that, you don't even own your home anymore. It's not even in your name.
Four mortgages. You ready for that letter? Couple months from now? Four mortgages? You ready to be financially destroyed? Go get Home Title Lock now, because they detect any tampering and stop it like that. HomeTitleLock.com. Make sure you use the promo code RADIO when you do that. That gets you 30 free days. We'll be back. Just so we clarify again, these are just a few of the bullet points from what Disney, one of the biggest countries in America, from what Disney is teaching their employees. 75 things white people can do for racial justice. Understand and defund the police. Oh, very nice. Participate in reparations. Decolonize your bookshelf. Find and join a local white space. Joining me now to talk about that is the opinion editor at Newsweek, and also he's an Edmund Burke Foundation research fellow, and he's my friend Josh Hammer. Josh, what exactly does it mean to find and join a local white space?
Jesse, I would be lying to you if I said I knew. What I can say is that what Disney is doing, I mean, Disney is like about as iconic an American corporation as it gets, right? I mean, you got Disney, Coca-Cola. It's hard to get more American than that. I mean, I was just at Disney World in February, actually. It was my girlfriend's decision, to be clear. But, you know, the girlfriend wants to go on a trip. She gets what she wants and all that stuff. But, I mean, Disney World is supposed to, if someone like me can go there, it's theoretically supposed to be an open space for whatever your political viewpoint is. I mean, freaking like Dumbo, Fantasia, Cinderella. This is not supposed to be politicized. This is about as American as apple pie and baseball. But I what they're doing here, and, you know, God bless Chris Rufo, who's doing just the Lord's work as far as kind of getting all these whistleblower stuff, whether it's San Diego critical race theory, whether it's Disney. He's just kind of doing yeoman's work right now. But I would be lying to you if I said I knew what they were even talking about when they're using this kind of rhetoric. I mean, I guess my question is for Disney, for the CEO and kind of the top dogs there, are they going to go back and like recolor Cinderella and the animation lines? I mean, where does this end? I literally don't understand like where this ends. Because apparently now they put in like sensors on when you view Dumbo now to warn you about like insensitive content. It's just very sad. I mean, and this is not just a Disney phenomenon, obviously, Jesse. As you and I both know, this is kind of just this is the game now. This is literally what's happening in the Fortune 500. So, but it's eye-opening. When a company as big as Disney does it, it definitely raises our eyebrows.
Josh, well, I mean, by the way, don't laugh, anybody, when he talks about recoloring Cinderella. If I woke up tomorrow morning and saw that they were doing it, I wouldn't bat an eye. And if it would surprise you, then you haven't been paying attention. There's nothing these people won't destroy. And Josh, answer me this, because why isn't more legally being done to stop this? Or is there nothing legally you can do? Does an employee at Disney, what are the rights out? Does an employee have the right to say, no, I'm suing you for all the money in the world. You can't teach me that I'm evil. Is that happening? Should it be happening? Can it happen?
So I'm not a labor lawyer by training. There probably are some creative labor law lawsuits out there waiting to be filed. What I can speak about a little more clearly, and I'm kind of waiting for this ship to sail. I feel like we've seen a little bit of it, but one thing that I am expecting a lot of over the next few years are shareholder lawsuits. I'm expecting a lot of kind of corporate law legal activists. I've actually had some private conversations with some kind of older law school friends of mine who are thinking along these lines. They're actually kind of actively planning to file something, not necessarily for Disney, but for a similar company. Because the theory here, it's debated in corporate law, the obligation that the company has, whether it's just to the shareholders, whether it's to the broader stakeholders. But to kind of oversimplify things, it's basically black letter corporate law that your primary obligation, if not your sole obligation, is to the shareholders. So I'm kind of waiting for a corporate lawsuit where kind of a big shareholder, or not even necessarily big, you literally could buy one share and probably get a cause of action there, basically saying that from all this nonsense, from purposely isolating and telling half America that you're effectively not welcome at this company, that you are therefore undermining shareholder value. So I'm actually expecting some corporate law lawsuits, employment and labor law, maybe, but I would expect more activism on the shareholder front, honestly.
Josh, what can people do to fight back? I tell people all the time, and look, I've made the same mistake. I've been to Disney World. My kids want to go see the new superhero movie. But I'm telling people now, don't we all, myself included very much so, have to be more purposeful with where we spend our money? Because you brought up the shareholders. Surely the shareholders, if they finally started getting hit in the profit loss sheet, will do something about this nonsense.
So look, I think it's an ongoing discussion what we on the right do, whether or not like counter boycotting is an effective strategy. And you know, here's where I basically come down on this. Will a concerted right of center effort to kind of counter boycott these woke capitalists, these technologists, will it amount to anything? I'm not so sure. I mean, you know, as a matter of kind of cultural, institutional, political capital, the American right, conservatives are drastically outnumbered. We're under siege. We hold power in way fewer institutions. So it's not obvious to me that a concerted boycott would be as effective. Having said that, yeah, as a personal kind of consumer, someone who is purchasing products, who is investing in companies, as you know, investing in the market as a shareholder, I am constantly now thinking along the lines of whether this company not necessarily supports what I support, but I need them to not hate my guts. I mean, that ought to be a bare minimum. The products that I am purchasing, whether it's a Nike shoe, you know, whether it's like I literally downstairs have a Goofy magnet on my fridge that I bought at Disney World. I'm kind of looking at now and thinking whether I should take it down. I mean, like, this company clearly hates my guts. So those are, at a bare minimum, are the kind of discussions that we ought to be thinking of.
Josh, how did it happen so fast? I mean, you mentioned it at the very beginning when we started talking. These are like our companies that are as American as apple pie. It's freaking Disney. It's Coca-Cola. This is America. And now they're overrun by these scumbag communists. And it seems like it was yesterday they weren't. How did that happen so fast?
Jesse, I wish I had a good answer to this question. I've thought a lot about it. I legitimately think historians are going to look back on this and kind of ask a similar question here. I think there's a confluence of a lot of factors, okay? Religion in America is on the decline. As you and I both know, church attendances are declining year over year. There's kind of the rise of the no's, the rise of the no affiliations. And I think in the void of traditional Judeo-Christian religion, that void has to be filled. People need meaning. Like, we are not just automatons. We are not robots. We have to live in some semblance of community. We are not individual kind of like Ayn Rand bots, right? We need something to aspire to be part of something greater than ourselves. So in the absence of organized religion, this woke ideology is rapidly, rapidly filling the gap. A lot of these secular people who have kind of lost touch with traditional religion, or even maybe because some people who go now to kind of more theologically liberal churches, synagogues, just not traditional religion in general, that void is filled by this kind of totalitarian, all-encompassing ideology that is constantly making its adherents think that everything that they're doing is the next Selma, Alabama march, right? We saw that with kind of the gay marriage fight. I mean, the polling on gay marriage shifted in like 3 or 4 years. I mean, that went from a winning issue for conservatives to a losing issue incredibly quickly. And that was kind of a harbinger of things to come, because when you constantly paint everything that you are doing, whether it was gay marriage then, whether it's Black Lives Matter, critical race theory now, as basically telling its adherents that this is the cause of the day, that you are standing right in line with Martin Luther King marching in Alabama in 1965, then its adherents are going to take that as the mother's milk when they don't have anything else to turn to, when they don't have God or religion. That is my best thesis as to what is happening, but I think it's kind of an ongoing discussion, basically.
No, I don't necessarily think you're wrong. Do you think that they're winning on the Black Lives Matter thing still? Obviously, I know they won over the last year, without question. We watched 99% of the right get down on their knees and beg for forgiveness for something they didn't do. But is that going to last? Is that going to change minds in the end?
It's tough. I mean, look, as you and I both know, Jesse, our friends in the right of center world, they are scared relentlessly. They are scared out of their rear ends of being called racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe, but really racist more than anything else, right? I mean, especially after we saw over the past year, all this critical race theory, the 1619 Project, the Black Lives Matter. I mean, the one kind of scarlet letter, the one kind of black mark that probably can get you canceled more easily than anything, that can kind of get you fired from your job, is being called a racist in today's day and age. And I genuinely am not sure what to do about that, other than to just kind of encourage people to just say no, to stand up there and say, no, I will not be called a racist for insisting that America's true founding was not 1619, but was 1776 and the writing of the Declaration of Independence. That is not a racist sentiment. It is not racist to say that America is not a systemically racist nation, that we've done far more good than bad in our history, while also fine, acknowledging that there obviously have been some very bad episodes. But we just have to, like you and I, Jesse, in the commentary, in the public space, we just need to encourage our listeners, our followers, just everyone to kind of get up there, get active at the local level, run for your local school board. You can always make a bigger difference, frankly, at the local level. Turn off Fox News, turn off OAN, turn off got the national dialogue. Focus on what's right in front of you. Fight the fight that is right in front of you and get active. Don't just kind of whisper. Don't just leak to Barry Weiss and her Substack. Kind of get out there and put yourself forward. We can only encourage people to do that. It requires a certain amount of bravery, but I think the onus is on folks like you and I to just encourage everyone to just do it.
Amen. Josh Hammer, everybody. Thank you, my brother. I'll see you soon.
See you soon, buddy.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? I usually, my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
He's not wrong. We gotta be active. Look, how long have I told you about Mammoth Nation? It's been forever. Be active. Look, that's the easiest way in the world to be active. You want to get involved? You want to do something? I'm not telling you to do something I haven't done or just, Mammoth Nation. I'm a lifetime member. I'm a lifetime member. When you join Mammoth Nation, your money goes to exactly what he's talking about. Candidates running for office who aren't whisperers, who are fighters, to causes that matter for us. Second Amendment. What do you get out of it? Well, doesn't hurt to get some discounts too, does it? Shopping, hotels, telehealth, wireless. Go to mammothnation.com/Jesse. That's mammothnation.com/Jesse and sign up. That's a great first step. We'll be back. Have you ever heard of the book The Sword and Shield? I'm just promoing a book here out of nowhere on the show. I don't know the author or anything like that, but I do know this. It was a book that essentially outlined the things the Soviets did here in America. And what blows you away, I don't expect you to read it. You can if you want. It's a wonderful book. What really blows you away was the scale of how committed communists were to getting here in every part of society. It would be nothing if I told you the communists were trying to infiltrate the CIA or the military. You'd say, yeah, I can see that. No, they infiltrate everything. They wanted their people absolutely everywhere. And so we lose sight of this when we read things like history. The Soviets used to do that, those dirty scumbags, and we'd kind of slough it off. We think to ourselves, thank goodness those days are over. Those days are not over. The communist Chinese are so deep so deeply entrenched in this country, I don't think Americans fully realize it. I mean, let's be honest, I don't fully realize it. And I know a ton about this stuff. Everywhere you turn, their fingers are in us even deeper. We understand that Joe Biden is the president of the United States of America. No, I'm not going off on that. His son is Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden has China dripping all over him. All over him. This stuff that came out, there's a headline here from Breitbart. Report, Hunter Biden's connected to the chief spy of China through his Chinese-American secretary. Of course. In 2017, Hunter went into business with Patrick Ho, the secretary general of a gigantic Chinese oil company. Hunter described Ho in a call as the spy chief of China. Why does this matter? Oh, I don't know. Emails from Chinese-American assistant Zizi Bao. If I screwed that up, I can barely speak English, okay, let alone Mandarin. Chinese-American assistant Zizi Bao telling Hunter his father needs to run for president and listed talking points to combat criticism of Hunter's dealings with China. Hunter, your dad needs to run for president. That would be really, really good for us. Wink, wink. Oh, by the way, should any of our dealings come up, here's a list of things he should say. Don't worry, we've researched this. Is this not creeping you out? Oh, wait, there's more. Emails telling Hunter to go ahead and pillage the company. Quote, here's my 2 cents. Whatever money from Hudson West, that's the company they were involved in, please take them. Take as much as possible or figure out a way to spend them for your own benefit. It doesn't matter whether the leftover operational fund for Hudson West is labeled as personal goodwill loan or a non-recourse borrowing slash drawing. Just take it and keep as much as possible. If you do not take that money, the money would end up become nobody's money. So it's better to use it for good. Nobody's money means they take away whatever you give up to nobody who knows where the system it will end up, and whomever stranger might simply take the money for granted. I mean, that was a lot of information. That was a lot of emails. So let me just break this down. On top of Hunter Biden's other dealings with China, on top of Hunter Biden hopping on, I believe it was Air Force Two with his father, Joe, when Joe was vice president, and taking a trip to China, they landed in China together. Joe Biden went off to do official things. Hunter Biden went off to line up these business deals. On top of all that, we have links between the president of the United States of America's son and the spy chief of China. Wrap your mind around that. And you do remember, right? It was like 5 minutes ago when we were talking about our Central Intelligence Agency. China's spy agency, they have a secretary working for the president's son. America's spy agency is worried about making sure gay people feel included enough as they put books back in the library. Who do you think wins that game in the long run? Talk about making you uncomfortable. I just creeped myself out. Gosh. But look, what am I going to say at this point? People don't think about these things when they're thinking about electing a president. The foreign policy stuff, especially spy stuff, right? Oh, spies. There's spies everywhere. You can't sell that on the campaign trail. That's not sexy. You sell, I'm good old Joe, just a hard scrabble dude from Scranton. And people buy that stuff, and they don't look into anything for more than 5 seconds before they go to the polls. Honey, who should we vote for? I don't know. Donald Trump was kind of mean. I didn't like his Twitter. Let's vote for the other guy. Oh, wow. There's a Chinese spy in the White House. Whoops. You get what you get. Don't throw a fit. All right. If you're trying to quit dipping, or you're trying to quit smoking, or you have a friend or family member who's trying to quit, or maybe you just want them to quit, hear me out here. I talk to you about Jake's Mint Chew a lot. You know, they have 11 different flavors of long cut, and that helps a lot. But let me focus on one thing they have for a moment. They have 4 different flavors of the CBD pouches. If you're a dipper or you're a smoker and you're trying to quit, these things are a lifesaver, maybe literally. whenever that next craving comes up, just try that. Just once. Try it one time for me and see if it works. Take one of these CBD pouches and put it in your lip. See if that doesn't take out that craving and take off that edge. Go to jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse for 20% off. We'll be back. Well, it's no secret the blame police for everything movement has been an absolute utter disaster. And that's not a left or right thing. That's not Republican or Democrat. The numbers that show up when you actually look at the uptick in violent crime and the retirement level of the officers, it's been a complete disaster. But don't take my word for it. Let's talk to former police officer and also author of the book Beaten, Black and Blue, Brandon Tatum. Brandon, it's not worked out. These uptick in violent crime numbers, we're going to get to the crimes against police officers in a while, but the uptick in violent crimes in these cities has been a disaster. And we have poor people in these neighborhoods who aren't criminals, who now are surrounded by criminals with no police protection. So how did this help anybody?
Well, Jesse, this is simple mathematics, okay? You remove police from the equation, you defund the police, you hurt the morale of the police department, you're going to see an uptick in crime. You know, when police officers are not on the streets being proactive in their policing and these criminals feel emboldened, they're going to commit more crimes, they're going to get more dangerous, they're going to take more chances. And this is, you know, the equation that I think most Americans should understand. And defunding the police is not helping the people who need the police the most. Listen, if you live in an affluent community, you don't need the police. You don't hardly ever see them. If you live in some of these inner city communities or community that are riddled with violence, you are the person, you are the community that needs the police the most.
Brandon, will you explain, because we hear this a lot, but I want to hear it from the mouth of a cop who knows what he's talking about. Proactive policing, what does that mean? You just brought it up.
Yeah, so proactive policing means that you don't wait for a call for service. Police officers are out there finding criminals, hunting them down, making sure they prevent crimes before they ever happen. So proactive policing, community policing, all of those things are a proactive measure into mitigating crimes, because we don't want to show up after you've already been shot and killed or already been robbed or raped. We want to show up and catch the guy that's lurking in front of your house or somebody that's suspicious in the area before they commit crimes, before they pass, you know, a hand-to-hand drug deal. So that's the most effective policing that police officers do around the country that yields the most results. So that's why it's so important for us to continue that method.
I want to show you, I'm sure you've already seen it, but I want to show you real quick. Check out this video of this cop in Times Square. I tell you, man, this is should bring it home for people.
He's a boy. Oh, he's a boy.
Or do you think because that's like a daughter?
That, ladies and gentlemen, is a cop carrying a 4-year-old child and saving its life, by the way. Brandon, nobody gets to see that anymore. Why a weaponized media against the cops? Why aren't those stories featured all the time?
Well, it's not sexy enough to see a police officer rescuing a young child and taking them to safety, and also the paramedics and everybody that worked together to make sure they preserved life of this kid that was shot unnecessarily by some thugs and criminals who, if we were proactively policing and took the reins off police officers, they'd probably be in jail at this point. So, you know, these things happen often. When I was a police officer, I've saved countless amount of people. It just, nobody was there to record it. It wasn't captured on body-worn camera, you know, because we didn't have body-worn cameras at the time when I was patrolling. At least I didn't have one assigned to me. So this happens on a day-to-day basis. What do people think police officers do all day? It's not traffic stops. It's not getting in officer-involved shootings. It's saving people's lives every day, all day, 24 hours a day.
Brandon, what is your take on those body-worn cameras? I've heard things from cops on every side of the issue. What's your take on them?
Well, I think body-worn cameras are incredible for transparency. You know, the more you're transparent, the more the public will trust you, and the more you can get your job done. However, I think there should be parameters. You know, when an officer is speaking in a private setting, you know, you go to the restroom and, you know, other things like that, you shouldn't have a body-worn camera on. A body-worn camera should only be utilized while in actively investigating. And I think if police departments keep that parameter there, it's nothing wrong with body-worn cameras. You know, when I was a police officer, I didn't have a body-worn camera, but I acted as if people were record me all the time. Therefore, you have integrity. You don't have to worry about something getting leaked or somebody finding out something you said that you shouldn't. You should always act with integrity, whether or not you have a body-worn camera on or not. But here's the thing. I am excited about body-worn cameras because I wish that more police departments will show the heroic efforts of law enforcement, the heroic, you know, rescues that are captured on the camera, not just shootings.
Brandon, I have some pretty ugly numbers here. I don't know if you've seen these. This is just from January to April. We have 91 officers shot. We have 19 of them killed and 23 of them shot in ambush attacks. I will tell you, on top of obviously the loss of life and the injury and these things, which is it's terrible, my main concern going forward, what I've been screaming about is good cops, smart, talented people such as yourself with options, they're not going to stand for this anymore, and they're just going to go. They're going to go be accountants or lawyers or farmers or whatever they're going to do because they're not going to live, they're not going to do their job in a country that demonizes them. And therefore, the police force is now going to be full of turds because the good guys are going to leave. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're pretty accurate about what you're saying. And we experienced this in the Tucson Police Department when they couldn't get quality officers and people were leaving the department. They had to lower the standards. So when you lower the standards, you get an influx of people who may not be the most qualified. You know, it's sad to say, but people are going to leave this profession. Police officers are the most dynamic people on planet Earth, and they can work anywhere in the country. If you are a police officer, you can do just about any job. You're talking about stress. You talk about handling, you know, accountability. You're talking about being able to work and without oversight in an environment where, you know, you're constantly on your toes. Police can do anything except policing. So you're going to get good quality people that can change your community. They're going to leave and they're going to do something that's more safe, that pays a lot more money, and they don't have to worry about the ridicule.
Brandon, how does this situation reverse itself in the cities? I'm not worried about the burbs. I'm not worried about rural America where I live. Like you said, we don't see cops unless they're stopping by for a hot dog on 4th of July. But the cities that are just in this death spiral right now, blame the cops, more crime, blame the cops, more crime. When does this stop? When does it end?
Well, you know, enough people get killed in the community and you keep seeing crime increase by, you know, three digits, you know, you're going to see people start changing their minds. We need to get rid of these brain dead mayors, get rid of some of these city council members that are pushing these feckless chiefs into office or into position where they're not serving the community. I mean, I'm fine. I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm safe. The police officers drive out here, say, "What's up, B. Tatum?" And they keep rolling. We sometimes left our garage open for a few days and never had a single person walk in our garage. We're safe. South Phoenix and other places around the country, they are not safe. And if they want to be safe, if they want to have an environment where their property value goes up and their kids can go to school without worrying about getting shot in the head, then they need to stop supporting these brain dead politicians and start supporting law and order and having these police officers have more training, have more support, so they can be there to protect them when they can't protect themselves.
Brandon, we have loudmouths like this Patrice Cullors of Black Lives Matter. She's, of course, funneled a bunch of money to a business run by the father of her kid. And I mean, these Black Lives Matter people were getting rich. We have the loudmouths all over TV. Cops are racist and all this other stuff, and we don't want them anymore. How much support does that cops are the problem thing have in the inner city communities? I continue to hear from people, they don't feel that way at all. The loudmouths on TV feel that way. The people in those communities do not.
Well, I think I have to agree with you again. You know, these people, like the CEO or the founder of Black Lives Matter, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, these people are living in a fantasy world, and they play on your emotions to line their pockets. There's no way in the world that any black person in America should support Black Lives Matter after they've been exposed that the leader of Black Lives Matter is buying houses in white communities. I mean, she's not even putting economic growth in black communities in her own personal life. And then you look at how much have they donated to the dead black bodies that they're raising money on. George Floyd, nothing. Michael Brown, nothing. Breonna Taylor, nothing. Jacob Blake, nothing. They have donated nothing to these people, not even including the young children that are getting smoked in the inner city and drive-by shootings, the young lady Jaslyn Adams at McDonald's in the McDonald's drive-thru. They have donated. They have not given any time, effort, energy, not a T-shirt to nobody. So I don't understand how we keep getting tricked. Unfortunately, a lot of people are tricked. But many people who live and they experience these violent behaviors, they know better. But the ones that talk the most are the ones that's the most brainwashed.
Man, that's a fact right there. Brandon Tatum, thank you so much, my brother. Come back soon.
All right, Jesse, anytime.
Look, I'll be honest with you. And I know this is not the line people take on the right. These poor people deserve better, man. There are a lot of people who are born poor. You're born in some crappy part of town in a big city, and you're born poor, and that's not a crime to be born poor. That's a lot of people in these neighborhoods, and they're just thrown to the wolves now because people on the left and the right weren't strong enough to push back against this cops or a bunch of racist KKK members hunting down black men for no reason whatsoever. Everyone wanted to run to the cameras. You remember, even everyone on our side, everyone wanted to run to the cameras. Look at how not racist I am. I'm the least racist person ever. Okay, that's very nice. That's a nice sentiment. Now these poor people, they're screwed, but at least you got that out there. Good for you. All right. We'll lighten the mood in a second. All right, that's enough bad stuff for one day. Let's go to some good stuff. You know, I saw this video, and I'll tell you, I did absolutely no research whatsoever into what actually happened. I know what I think happened, and I love it. Show it.
This is the most New York shit. This guy's got the Tim's on and the Yankee fitted running on the, what is this, the BQE?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Dude's just running down the highway. And you know what I think happened? And I might be totally wrong. I bet you the dude was on his way to work, broke down, and he was like, screw it. I'm not going to be late again today, and just took off running. Respect. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have some fun. I'll see you then.
This is an iHeart podcast.